My oldest is Nicholas, who's going to be 27 here next week. He's been married now for, I think, about 3 years. I got that right, honey? 3 years, okay. 3 years. What kind of father is he? He doesn't know how long his kids are married. I mean, it just time flies. 3 years. He was my strong-willed mule. How many here have one of those? Raise your hand. When I do parenting conferences, that's what usually draws parents to those things. Those parents that have mules. Strong-willed children who just want to rule and run everyone and everything around them. And my son Nicholas was like that when he was born, from the time he came home from the hospital. Never took naps, didn't sleep all night. He was colicky. From the time he could scream, yell, walk, crawl, he was trying to tell my wife and I how to do it and when to do it and so on and so forth. And he was like that all the way through up into his teenage years. We'd have 2 to 3 teacher conferences a year because he kept trying to tell the teachers what to do and how to do it. He was my mule. By the time he was 3 years old, he was able to get me angrier than any human being on earth. I wanted to kill him by the time he was 3. I mean it. God's word said that our children are a gift. I said, God, where's the exchange store? Someone messed up. Someone messed up because, this kid was just, we had him tested. They went to, prick them, poke them, did every type of thing you can imagine and find out what's wrong with them. And the doctor, thank God, just told us when he was about 3 that, you just happen to have a strong-willed child. And buckle up, kind of thing. And our second son, Justin, was our prince. Sweet, gentle, easy, compliant child. Praise God for them. Straight A honor student through school, just, don't do that, okay, Dad, just one of those. God knew how much we could take, so he gave us a Justin. When he was going through Christian school, our teacher conferences every year, 2 or 3 or 4 with Nick, and then they'd get our son 2 years later, Justin, and they would be going, where did you get this kid? He's perfect, God was so good. And then we have a third one. 8 years after, I told my wife when we got married I wanted 2. I wanted 2 boys. God gave me my 2 sons. And we said we were done. We kind of sold all the junk, thought we were done. And about 8 years had passed, and a good friend of ours had a child and a little girl. And I was watching him and this little girl. I go, they're different. And, my wife asked me one night, hey, do you want another one? I go, I want one of those. She was 35, and she was saying no, but, some miracle happened. Within 2 months, she was pregnant, and God blessed me with a little princess. How many men here have little princesses at home? They're wonderful. Now my princess is 16, 5'9", and gorgeous. But praise the Lord, she was a compliant child, too. She's been an easy one to raise. She has chosen since second grade to be homeschooled her entire life. And we've seen that as a benefit. I'm not a big advocate that all kids need to be homeschooled, but it's made it real easy for us. But she was a very shy child. She was, loud places. Disneyland was not the funnest place on earth. And so when we'd go there, she had to be clinging on to my wife and I all the way up until, she's 8 or 9 years old. So all of our kids were very different, and we had to make some adaptations to their personality, the uniquenesses that God created them. Do you know that God gave you the personality, that your children, the personality they have? They're like fingerprints. Let me ask you a question, parents. Can God make a mistake? Oh, you sure? We don't always act that way, do we? When he brings us one of those mules or those children. Even though my daughter, the adaptation that we had to make as a mother and father to her personality and the comments that we received from my 7 other brothers and sisters, my parents have 40 grandchildren right now. Okay, so we know how to make babies. And so, when their kids are young, everyone's got advice. And so when my little daughter came around, and they saw how we were, how she was always clinging to us and we had to hold her. So they were always, oh, what's wrong with her? You guys are messing up. Oh, shut up. Actually, we didn't know. We just had to make all kinds of adjustments. If you met her today, she's gorgeous and she just holds herself very, you'd never know she had that issue when she was younger. But she did. And we had to make some real changes to things that we did in public for her. And she grew through it. She was just the way she was. She was extremely shy. So each of our kids were uniquely different, and God wanted us to adapt to our children without compromising the truth and His will. And it's important for us as parents to accept the personality that God gave us in our children. And when we are getting angry and upset, you know what we're telling God? You messed up. Somebody did. Now, we don't think of it that way, but boy, when you look at the bottom line, and as a counselor for almost 24 years, I have met many parents to try to came in to kind of trying to convince me someone made a mistake. It's my spouse, because he's got a brother just like this kid, you know. How many here, when you think back to the way you're raised, really believe that your parents knew what they were doing? I mean, they were unified. They exemplified loving relationships. Your dad knew how to lead in the proper way. They knew how to love you, knew how to show affection, and knew how to discipline you, and they're completely unified in their discipline. Raise your hand. How many people had parents like that? Okay, three, and then there's one in the back that's not sure. You know, three of you. Now, I mean, how many here are Christians? Raise your hand. Some of you guys are still unsure of that. I mean, come on. Pete, you need to do some work here. Anyway. The norm is less than 5% of Christians today had a godly example. That's the fact. You may think that you're special, that, oh, woe is me. You may have three, four generations of prisons and drug addicts and whatever, and you think you're special? You're normal. You're like the rest of us. The fact is 95% or more of Christians today did not have a godly example. So we didn't see how it's to be done. But then we become Christians. We meet our spouses. We get married with great intentions not to make the same mistakes our parents did. And it's our sin nature as humans to use the backdrop of how we are raised as our measuring tool of how successful we are. That's what we do. That's not what God wants. Barnhart Group did a survey about 5 years ago on Christians, thousands of them across the United States, saying, how would you know if you were a successful parent or not? Number one answer is just knowing I did the best job I could. Oh, shut up. Think about how stupid, how foolish that answer is. Just knowing we did our best, God doesn't want us to do our best. He wants us to do what? His will. Not our best. I was a youth pastor 4.5 years before I went into full-time ministry. And believe me, sitting down with these teenagers and their parents and watching the dynamics that were going on, my kids were like 4 and 5 years old back then, and watching the battles and the division and the sin going on in Christian homes was just mind-blowing to me. I remember going to my pastor going, Dean, dude, I just heard a story that just blows my mind. He was just snickering. You know, I've been hearing it for years, Craig. Get used to it. And that broke my heart. It broke my heart. And at that point, God was showing me some very important things in His Word because I was going to kill my kid. And so I began to fast and pray and look into God's Word, and God began to speak to me some wonderful truths about how to raise my children according to His will. Not according to my will. Not using the way my dad did it. Not using a measuring tool. As long as I'm not doing the same things my parents doing, as long as I'm doing a better job than them, I'm okay. Those are lies from the pit of hell that we embrace and we accept as Christians. It is a lie. This is one of the reasons why. Today, over 70% of the kids being raised in Christian homes, after 12 years of youth groups and even many gone to Christian schools, 70% when they're leaving our homes after 18 years old are walking away from their faith. It's not because of the influence of the world, believe me. I have seen it, I've watched it, I've counseled, I've traveled a lot. It is a direct result of our ignorance of knowing how to tend to our children according to God's will. Let me ask you, are there consequences when you and I take something God gave us and treat it or use it or tend to it contrary to His word? Are you absolutely sure? I hope you are. Because God says when He called us unto Himself, He said, you are my children. I've accepted you the way that you are. You're rotten, though. You're sinners and you're selfish. But I know it. I created you. I know you better than you know yourself. But the day that you and I accepted Christ began the journey of transformation. And God promises, as a godly father, He will continuously train us into His image and to us do His will. And if we say no to it, He says, I will do what to you? There you go. I will scourge you. God says in Hebrews 12, as your father, I will discipline you, which means I'll be training you into the image of Christ and training you into being the man and woman I've called you to be. Is there something God cannot do? He cannot lie. He cannot lie, and He will not make us do anything. He gave us all free choice. Free choice to look to His word and say, God, what is it that you've called me to do? I know when I came to Christ after years of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of other stupid things that I'd be embarrassed to even bring up.
Excuse me a second. I'm losing my...
Hopefully that's going to fix it. Am I doing okay, Pastor? I even get the pastor up here to fix this with me. Can you click that? We become so tight these last few weeks. It's pretty special. Marcy, don't get jealous. He still loves you a lot more. God is not a liar. He says, I've taken you the way that you are, and I will finish that work. As men, to be fathers, priests, according to His will. Not according to ours. And I know when I got saved and I started going to church, I was just lucky that God let me sit in the back and someone didn't kick me out. Someone would go, wait a minute, I remember you in high school, you drug addict, get out of here. I was just lucky. I was so glad to sit back, no one's kicking me out. But when I would read scriptures about being the father and the husband that God called me to be, I always thought, oh, well, that's somebody else. And God said, no, it's not, it's you. I've anointed and called you to be this man. And I'm not a liar. And I will use a power that sustains the heavens and earth. I will give it to you, Craig, to be transformed, to be the husband and the father that my word will tell you. Don't hesitate. Don't not believe this. Believe it is true. And the enemy kept bringing up my past and making me think about who I used to be. I have so many people who come into my counseling office. I'm juggling about 15 families right now. And every time they come in, they do their best to try to convince me that God's a liar and there's something that he will not do for them, that God shortchanged them in some way. I can't lead the way God wants me to. I can't have a Bible study with my kids. I even know Scripture. Oh, shut up. Yeah, you can't even get out of bed right. That's the reality. But in the power of God, you can do some things. All things. All things. Not some. But we have to go into God's word with the attitude, this word is for me. As husbands and wives. As parents. I've had many people tell me, I can't do that. And I just say to them, no, what you're telling God is you won't. And believe me, your father will discipline you if you say no. Why are we having over 600,000 divorces a year in the body of Christ? Why are we having 70% of our kids walking away from their faith? It's because we're not looking to God's Word as our guide and measuring tool. We're not coming into God's Word and saying, God, what is it that you've called me to do? If you've got a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. In this one verse,